chapter number 11 of the book of Luke. And I want to preach today on this subject, the doctrine of the excluded middle. I want to do away with a lot of false doctrine today and do a lot of away with anyone who says, I want to stand in the middle in spiritual terms. We're going to find out what the Lord said.
Yes.
And that's what matters.
Amen.
Luke chapter number 11, verse number 14. And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. But some of them said, he casteth out the devils through Beelzebub, that Satan, the chief of the devils. And others tempting him sought of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, there's a blessed verse, you can hide anything you want, but you won't hide from him. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house faileth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub, and if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger then he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted, and divideth his spoils. He that is not with me is against me. Let me read that one more time. He that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. He saith, I will return unto my house whence I came. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. And it came to pass as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted her voice and said unto him, blessed is the womb that beareth thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. And but he said, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. You may be seated. I'm preaching today on the doctrine of the excluded middle. When I was in Bible college years ago at Carolina Bible College, Brother Ronnie Simpson taught a principle that always stuck with me, and that was the principle of the law of the excluded middle.
Yeah.
And that means there is no middle ground in the Word of God. There is no middle ground in Christianity. There is no middle ground as far as the Word of God, as far as salvation, and as far as service is concerned. You're either on one side or you're on the other. There is no middle ground with God. Say amen. J. Harold Smith has gone on to be with the Lord now, but for years on the radio he would say the only thing that is in the middle of the road is yellow lines and dead skunks. Amen. And that is true. There is no middle ground. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This is the law of the excluded middle in the Word of God. That means either you're lost or you're saved. That means that you're either headed for hell or you're headed for heaven. That means that you're either serving God or you're serving Satan. Say amen. There is no middle ground. Amen. In our world today, the liberal movement and the agnostics and the atheists and the gag-a-maggot crowd, they take the middle ground. They say God is one, and they leave the truth out, and they say that they can stand on middle ground, and God will approve of it. But that is not true. Amen. And then on the outer end of the scale, we have the spiritual elitist, amen, that think they're the only ones that's going to heaven, and they want to say they're in the middle ground. But I say there is no middle ground, thank God. Either you sell out to God or you quit on God. Amen. Either you're for or you're against. Either you're up or you're down. Either you're in or you're out. Hallelujah. There is no middle ground. So, in our religious world, through the years, we've seen denominations rise out of this controversy. I've seen some very heated discussions concerning middle ground. I've even seen a little bit of violence because of the discussion of middle ground. But I'm here to tell you, there is no middle ground. There are denominations that have arisen and are in effect today that did so because they didn't like one side and they didn't like the other side. So they decided they'd have a middle of the ground church, amen. But there is no such thing. Either God's blessing it or God's cursing it. Say amen. I mean, either it's got the Holy Ghost in it or the buzzards are flying over the rooftop, amen. There is no middle ground in serving God. So we've seen all those things occur. So what we're looking at today is a statement that our Lord dogmatically, somebody said you shouldn't be dogmatic. Well, the Lord was in this verse. And dogmatic simply means there's only one way and I ain't changing my mind, I ain't moving off of it. Amen. Alright, so the Lord was dogmatic and the Lord emphatically stated that there is no middle ground in working for God. Amen. He said, he that is not with me on this side is against me on the other side. He didn't say there's a middle of the ground. He didn't say there's a middle of the road. He didn't say there's a happy medium in between. Say amen. He said, he that is with me is on this side. But he that is against me is on this side. Now let's look at something in the scripture today. I'm going to show you this. If we were to look at this in our carnal and our finite minds, amen, we would look at it different than what God did. I want to paint for you first a picture of the scene in which this doctrine is present. It is declared. This scene can be viewed with two different avenues of thought. Number one, you can look at it through God's eyes, and that's what Christ did. Or you can look at it through man's eyes, which is what most people will do. But I want us to look at it. Number one, there was people of different classes present that day. His inner circle was there. Look at back at verse number one. I didn't read that verse. But in verse number one of that chapter, verse number one of that chapter came to pass as he was praying in a certain place when he sees one of his disciples said unto him. So his inner circle was there. I want to paint that picture. His disciples, all 12 of them, were there. You say, that's pretty good. They were with the Lord and they were serving the Lord. Yep, 11 of them was and one of them wasn't.
Right.
You see, even in the inner circle, Jesus drew a line. Amen. And later he said he never was anything but a devil from the beginning, speaking of Judas Iscariot. So even in the inner circle, even in those that walked with him and talked with our Lord, there was one that was not with him. And Jesus drew that line that day. He said, hey, either you're with me or you're against me. And Judas had to hear what the Lord said that day. And in his heart, he knew that he wasn't with him. Now, the other disciples didn't know that at that time, but hey, the Bible said, I read the verse, that Jesus knew what they thought. He knew what was in their hearts. He knew what was in their minds. Let me say to you this morning that you may look good on the outside, and you may be putting on a good front to everybody that's looking at you, but He knows your thoughts. He knows the intents of your heart. He knows what you are and what you're not, and you're either for Him on this side, or you're against Him on this side. The inner circle was there. But number two, the interested crowd was there. Look at verse number 14. This was a mixed multitude. This is the group that had mixed feelings. I love to preach on this. They had mixed feelings about the Lord's work. This is the group that could sit in the middle of a hallelujah shout out service and walk out and say, good message, preacher. That man, this is the group that sat and 10 people get saved at the altar, and this is the group that would walk out and say, good message, preacher. Get quiet. I got to get wired back up. More ways than one. But this is the group that was a mixed multitude. They had different ideas, and they had different thoughts about what was going on that day. And they were, as verse number 14 says, they were the ones that followed just to see the miracles.
Right.
Amen. They wanted to see the thrill of it. We've got that element today. Amen. When it comes to good instructional and indoctrinating preaching, they're just as dead as 4 o'clock. But let somebody start swinging from the fan blades up on the fan, and they get all spiritual. That man, preacher, you say you're telling us not to shout. No, I'm telling you, hey, if you're going to shout, when your feet hit the ground, walk straight. And I shout not because of what I feel. I shout because of the Word of God that's in me. Hallelujah. And when the Word of God starts coming out, it's like a well of living water. It starts bubbling over in my soul. And that is the Word of God. Hey, and the Word of God comes by here. Amen. The more you get in you, the more you'll come out. Hey, that's why a lot of people don't shout, because they don't have anything going in. Hey, and if nothing's going in, nothing's going to come out. Amen. This was the interested crowd. They were not so much interested in the Lord's person as they were in the Lord's performance. Amen. We still got that crowd today. Amen. We got the fake healers on TV. They're in that crowd. Amen. At their Colosseum crusades, if you come forward and say, I want to get saved, get over there in that line over there. If you come forward and say, I got an ingrown toenail, I want to get healed, glory to God, let me pop you in the head. Oh, they're getting down out of the mixed multitude. They're more interested in person, in the performance, than they are in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say to you, it's better that you go into heaven without any arms or feet or sight or hearing than to go to hell without all that. Amen. So where will we put the importance? I got to move on. This is a mixed multitude. They were there. The entire crowd was there. Verse 15. This was the devout and dedicated enemies of the Lord. They weren't interested in anything about Him that was God. This is the group that we read the verse that attributed His miracle. They couldn't deny the miracle. It happened. So what did they do? They attributed that miracle to the devil. Did you know what they just did? They blasphemed the Holy Ghost. Did you know that I can tell you this, but you won't believe it, but their doom was sealed the minute they said it. They were, according to my Bible, according to what I understand, the minute they said that what you're doing is of the devil, they attributed the work of God to the devil. At that moment, their doom was sealed. They could have come and heard Jesus preach 1,000 more times. Would not have helped them. They had blasphemed the Holy Spirit of God. That is dangerous ground. You better watch what you attribute to the devil. But I've known people to walk up to preachers and say, what you're doing is of the devil. You better watch that. That's dangerous ground. You're drawing a line and crossing over a line. You might not even be able to come back. Amen. Got to move on. The intolerant crowd was there. They dogged every step our Lord made. These were the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Amen. The ignorant crowd was there. Verse 16. These people wanted to see a sign. Amen. This is the stargazers and the sign seekers that we got. Amen. Oh, I love getting with these people. Yeah, did you see that cloud formation the other day, preacher? It looked just like Jesus. Hallelujah. And they all spiritual over there. But I take that word of God right there. That's got Jesus from giver to killer. Hallelujah. All over the pages. And hand that book to them and they're as cold as a cucumber. I want to say to you, we're not living in days of sign seeking or star gazing. The Word of God said, look up. Look up, glory to God. Your redemption draweth nigh. I'm not looking for a star. I'm not looking for anything to come out of the eastern sky except Jesus Christ. My bridegroom, amen. They were the ignorant crowd. The ignorant. I'd say stupid. That's another class of people. I said ignorant. Stupid is the inability to learn. Ignorance is the desire not to learn. These are ignorant people. They got God everywhere, but they can't. They won't. Look at this. You see what I'm talking about? They had just seen the Lord Jesus touch that dumb man. They saw this, and that spirit, that evil spirit, came out of that dumb man, and that dumb man talked. And the Bible says some of them wondered. They saw that. They saw the Son of God. Listen to me. They saw the only begotten Son of God touch that man and bring that evil spirit out of him. And they stood there and said, that's all right, but we want to see a sign. See how stupid, huh? We got that word in there, doesn't it? That borderline stupid. Amen. It's totally ignorant, but it's borderline on stupid. You know, some people are so stupid that they couldn't have been born that way. They had to educate themselves to get that stupid. Y'all get that in a little while? Hey man, we got some people in government. They couldn't have been born that dumb. They had to study all their life. One of them's name's Al Gore. He could not have been born a woman that dumb. So he must have educated himself in some awful higher institutions of learning to get that dumb. Got to go on. The ignorant crowd was there. But I want you also to see there was an impressionable cry there. Verse 27. Now watch this. Most people say, oh, glory to God. That shouting there, oh, glory to God. She's saved. Watch what happened. Verse number 27. In verse 27, it came to pass that he spake these things. A certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, blessed is the womb, and blessed are the paps. That means the breast. Now, most Baptist people would have, they'd jump aisles and walk the tops of the pews over there. I'm sorry. There's no salvation in what she said. I hate to crumble your wagon that you're riding in, but there's no salvation in what she said. She looked over the Son of God and she looked to the Virgin Mary. Is that not what the Catholic Church does today?
Is that not what the Catholic Church, they pray to Mary, they pray to the Virgin Mary? Are you listening to me? Is that not what they do? They bypass the Son of God. Or they put the Virgin Mary on the same level as the Son of God. Hey, He's the only begotten Son of God. She looked past Jesus. She had Jesus right there in front of her. She could have reached out and embraced Him. But she didn't do that. She looked past that and said, "Blessed is your mother." Say, "Preacher, you read something? Read nothing in there. I'm reading exactly like it says there." She didn't say, "Thou art the Son of God." She didn't say, "Blessed is, are you the Son of God?" She said, "Blessed is your mother." Amen. Y'all got quiet on that. Must have really been in somebody's hen house. So we look first of all at the people. The people that were present. But I want to show you something else. Secondly, is the principles of the definite content that the Lord presented here. Now, before He thunders forth this statement in verse number 23, "He that is not with me is against me," He starts laying the groundwork for it. See, the Lord's master preacher. Amen. I mean, nobody will preach better than Him. And I need to take a lesson from Him. But before He actually threw it out to the people, He laid the foundation for it. That's good preaching. You're supposed to do that. That's what I'm trying to do now. Amen. Is lay the foundation. But what He did, He laid the groundwork and He laid the foundation for this statement. By the way, no truth can ever stand without a proper foundation. If you say, "I believe this," show me why you believe it. Amen. If you say, "I'm saved," then I want you to take the Word of God and show me how you got saved. Say, "Well, preacher, the Word of God wasn't involved when I got saved." Then you're not saved. Remember, "He that is not with me is against me. He that is not using my Word is over here on this side. He that is against the Word of God is over on this side. He that is for the Word of God is on this side." Amen, preacher. So he started laying the groundwork. In verse 17, he brought out the first point. He said, verse 17, he said, there's only two sources of power in this world. Now watch what he says. Watch what he says. Here's an emphatic truth. Number one, the Bible said in that verse, said the Lord knew their faults. So He knew where they were going, but they didn't know where He was going. Lord, have mercy, could I preach about 3 hours on that? We don't know what God's going to do, but God knows what we're going to do. So, who should we depend on? Depend on each other? Depend on God. Because God knows what your brother and your sister's going to do. Amen, preacher. So He knew their thoughts. He knew exactly where they're headed. And so, to head them off at the pass, this is a good preaching, to head them off at the pass, the Lord laid the foundation. He laid the groundwork. He dogmatically, here's that word again, I like that word dogmatic. He dogmatically declares that there's only two kingdoms in this world. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. Now, I'm going to throw this in right here and I've got to move on. I'd like to preach an eye on it. That does away with the good old boy theory. You ever heard that? Well, there's good old boy. It don't matter if it's a good old boy, bad old boy, or a terrible old boy, still going to hell without God. Amen, preacher. So he lays that ground. He said there's only two kingdoms, one of God, one of Satan. One of God, one of Satan. One godly, one ungodly. One up here, one down here. Then he declares another truth in this verse. He says that a house divided against itself will fall. We know that from the history of the church. Church becomes divided against itself, it'll fall, can't stand. Jesus put another way, another verse said, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? You can't. You can't be walking in this. See, he that is with me, he that is not with me is against me. He that's with me will be walking hand in hand in the same direction I'm going. He that is against me will not be holding my hand and will be going in the opposite direction. See, that's a judgmental thing. Call it what you want. Still there. It won't go away no matter what you call it. So he laid the groundwork that there's only two sources of strength in this world. In our religious world, you got probably, last time I saw it, there's something like 59 different denominations in the United States. Every one of them's right. Amen. If you talk to them, they're right and the other 58's wrong. But our Lord didn't say that. He said there's two sources of power in this world. There is the kingdom of God. There is the kingdom of Satan. Either you're working for God. Either you're labeled with God. Either you're on the side of God. Either you love God. Or you're working with the devil. You love the devil. You're doing the evil work of the devil. One side or the other side. One side or the other side. I want to preach that, make it plain. There is no middle ground. But then secondly, he says, not only is only two sources in this world. In verse number 21-22, I might have a spell on this. He says there's only two strengths in this world. Now look in verse 21. I love this passage of Scripture. But in verse number 21, he says, when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. You know who the strong man is? That's the devil. Amen. That's the devil. He's a strong man. The Bible says he's got powers. That's right. He's the prince of the power of this earth. This is his kingdom on earth. Are you listening to me? And he has power. By the way, one of the greatest powers Satan has is in the music realm. Lord, have mercy, do I need to preach 3 hours on that? That's why you keep the world's music out of the house of God. Because the devil has, by the way, he was the choir leader, amen. He was the choir leader in heaven before he got the big head and God kicked him out. He knows music and he knows how to filter in the evil through music. Amen, preacher. You say, well, preacher, you had your rock and roll music when you was a teenager. Sure did. Had the Beatles and the Beach Boys and the Rolling Stones and all. Listen to them. Sure did. But when I set out down there to the house of God, I didn't hear Beatles and I didn't hear Rolling Stones. I heard that old time singing glory to God. That put something in my soul is still there. I'm saying to you, you can have it if you want it. Everybody, every generation has. But don't bring it into the house of God. I don't want it, amen. Amen. Yeah. Ain't nothing in it. Oh, I know what I'm on. The preacher, it's got godly words in it. Good. I know a song called One Toke Over the Line, Sweet Jesus. You want to sing out here? Just because it's got Jesus in it don't mean nothing. Well, you can't listen to the sound. You got to listen to the words. I can't hear the words for the sound. Lord, I got to get off of this. I'll be here all day. He said there's only two strengths. He said that number one, there's a strong man. And he's got a kingdom. He said he's powerless. He's got a kingdom. A strong man. That's Satan. And he wants to rule this world. He's doing a pretty good job of it. I got to hurry. But look at verse 22. Here's your shouting ground. He said, now there's a strong man. But he said in verse 22, one stronger than the strong man comes. Hallelujah. Hey, glory to God. Isn't that good? He said, when the stronger than the strong man comes, he'll defeat the strong man. He'll take all he's got, and he'll divide his spoils. Hallelujah to God. Let me tell you something, that's Christ. The strong man is Satan, but the stronger than the strong man is Christ. Aren't you glad of that? You wouldn't be saved if that weren't true. The strong man had you bound down. The strong man had you in prison. The strong man had you in chains and you had no way out. But the stronger, glory to God, then the strong man came in that prison where you were at and unloosed your shackles and set you free, glory to God.
Only two sources, only two strengths. But now we get to the specifics from which this doctrine is described. Lord, now draw us a line. Now, if we were going to look at this, and we probably already have, if we were going to look at this in our carnal minds, we would assess that there's probably at least five different groups of people there that day. There's the disciples, and there was the interested crowd, mixed multitude. There was the ignorant crowd. There was the intolerant crowd that hated him. And then there was the woman that was almost, but not quite. Five groups at least, right? That don't take a rocket scientist to assess that fact, does it? It's five groups. It sits on the Word of God, didn't it? That's the way we look at it, right? If this was a gathering today, we'd say there's five groups here. But then the Lord steps on the scene. And He says, I beg you differ. I want to enlighten you as to how many groups are here today. And in verse number 23, He says, He that is not with me is against me. Oh, wait a minute, Lord. We're the disciples. He didn't say, except my disciples. He didn't say this applies to everybody else here except my disciples. He said, He, meaning anybody that is not with me, is against me. And that put what I did in the middle of that crowd, it drew a line right down the middle. And the Lord said, if you're with me, get over here. If you're against me, get over here. Now I want to drive this home. If I take a chalk line and draw a line right down the middle of this aisle, and everybody in here can comprehend what I'm saying. And what I'm going to do, there's only two in relation to sexual nature, there's only two kinds here today, male and female. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to put all the males on this side, and I'm going to put all the females on this side. Are you listening to me? And I want all the its to stand right there on that line. You say, preacher, ain't nobody going to be standing on that line. You got it. He that is not a female is a male. She that is not a male is a female. Say, what's that do in the gay community? Whatever you want to do with them. I'm just preaching the Word of God. Jesus drew the line, and they're on one side or the other two. Say amen. Nobody. There'd be no special it standing on that line. Although we always have those who think they are it. Amen. Not it. Amen. But there'd be no it's on that line. There'd be males on this side, females on this side. That's what the Lord did that day. He said, everybody that's with me, get on that side of the line. Everybody that's against me, get on that side of the line. I hear that woman say, hey, wait a minute, Lord. You know, I'm not really for you, you know. But then again, I'm not really against you. He didn't make that distinction, did he? He said, get on one side or the other. That's my message to you today, gospel life. Get on one side or the other. There's no middle ground. Well, I'm not really actively working against the Lord, but then again, I'm not really actively working for the Lord. And no middle ground. Either you're working for Him or you're working against Him. Either you're for God or you're for the devil. Either you're in love with Jesus or you're in league with the devil. He that gathereth not scattereth. You're either doing one of two things today. You're either gathering the scattered or you're scattering the gathered. This is the doctrine of the excluded middle. Deny it if you want, but you're denying the words of the Lord. Word scattered means to drive away. So you're either bringing them to Jesus or you're driving them away.
Brother Bill, that's the conversation we was having just a minute ago about your life. Your walk speaks louder than you talk. You're either driving them to or you're taking them from. There's a solid acclamation that the Lord said. The word means, and that verse means a lot, the word with. He said, he that is not with me, the word with means alongside of. So here's what Jesus was saying. Are you listening to me? Glue your eyes on me. He said, he. Now this is a fine line. This is dogmatic, but this is what he said. He that is not walking step in step with me, hand in hand with me, with his eyes on me, and his heart loving me, is against me. Uh-oh. I probably would get run out of 90% of the Baptist churches this morning preaching what I'm preaching. But I thank God I'm not going to hope not to get run out of this. Of course, service ain't over yet. And I ain't done preaching yet. Now, I'm going to have to skip over some of this because I'm running out of time. But just briefly, I'm going to say that the Lord was very mindful of who He was when He made this statement. You see, they'd already been questioned as to whether His work was of God or whether it was of the devil. So, He was very mindful that this crowd did not recognize Him as the authority to make the statement. But I want to say to you, He is the authority. He is the God-man. Not just man, but God. Not part man and part God, but all man and all God. 100% man, not a sissy. He was a man. And 100% God. So does that give Him authority to speak for God? Listen to me. Only God can speak for God. Only God can know God. Only divinity can comprehend divinity. Are you listening to me? The only reason you can talk to God is not because of who you are or what you are or your flesh or your several abilities. It is if you're saved, you've got God in your soul. And that's how you talk to God. It is God in here talking to God up there. Only God can talk to God. Hallelujah. I talked to God yesterday. Good for you. Didn't you, preacher? No, I didn't. I talked to Him that's in here. He talked to Him for me. The Bible validates what I'm preaching. It says we don't know how to pray. We don't know what to say. He takes our utterings and our groanings and He turns them into words that God can comprehend. That means I can't talk to God. He can't comprehend what I'm saying. But the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, can talk for me. He's the God man. He's also the God message. I got to hurry up. Not only is He the message, but He's the messenger. Never before in this world has a message been brought, and the message was the one that brought it. Ooh, Lord. I don't have the words to get that out, but I feel it in here. You say that was both messenger and message. Nope. Only one. And the Word became flesh. Hallelujah. The Word became flesh. It wasn't Word and flesh. It was Word that was flesh and flesh that was Word. He was both the message and the messenger. No, Lord. Well, then there's a summons in which this doctrine is directed. And I'm going to be through. The Lord draws a line here. He says there's not five classes of people here that day. There's only two. I'm going to make that statement right now. There's only two classes of people in this church. You're either for Him or you're against Him. But I will show you the present danger in this. In verse 24 and 26, and I'll be done. Verse 24, in the very beginning of what I read, verse 14, I believe it was, It's speaking about a dumb man. A devil was cast out of him. And he spake. I want to show you something, people. Here's the danger of playing with God. Here's the danger of playing with salvation. Here's the danger of hearing it and being convicted but not getting saved. Watch this. By the Word of God, not by what I'm saying. By the Word of God. Again, in verse 24. Read with me, if you will. Verse 24. And when the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he walked through dry places seeking rest. And findeth none, he said, what did he say? I'm going to go back down there where I come from. That's what I'll be returning to my house. He said, I'm going back down there where I come from. I've got close to God. I know I didn't get it all, but He did touch me. I felt something. You better not trust your feelings. Hallelujah. You can go to hell with your feelings. Yep. You've got to have the thing when you get saved. Not feelings. I didn't say feelings would come in, but you better not rely on your feelings. It's not a feeling. Salvation is not a feeling. Salvation produces feelings, but it is not a feeling. This man got close to God. This man was touched by the very hand of the Son of God. And the Bible says, he said, I'm going to go back down under my house. I've seen people kneel at this altar and get close. I've seen them make professions, Brother Bill. You have too. You folks all over this church have seen this happen. They made a profession but never got the possession. And you never seen them again. This man said, I'm going back down into my house. He said, that's his choice. Sure is. You can make that choice too if you want to. Let me show you what happened to him. Follow me in the Word of God. This is all right here. In verse number 25, I believe it is. Verse number 26. And then he goeth and take unto him, what he said? Seven. He had one. God got it out of him. He said, that's good. Hallelujah. I'm going to walk the middle of the road now. And he headed back down there where he come from, and guess what happened? Now he don't have one demon, he's got seven. That's what will happen to you if you get close to God. That's what can happen to you when you flirt with the Holy Ghost of God. Hey, are you listening to me? That's what can happen to you when you say, hey, I've got enough. I've got a little religion. I'm a good old boy. I walk the middle of the road and sing and be happy. Hey, you cannot do it. You're either for Him or you're against Him. This man probably said, I'm going to walk the middle of the road. And he wound up seven times worse than he was. You mean, preacher, that he'd been better off not to ever even come to the Son of God and start with, you got it. Oh, if you grab that, you got it. It's better never to promise than to promise and not do, the Bible says. He'd have been better off if he'd have walked away from the whole scene and then still had that one demon. He'd have been better off than he was. The Bible, Jesus said that, did he not? Verse 26, the last state of that man was worse than the first. I gotta stop. A present danger. Let me go just a little bit further and I'm gonna quit. Also a proclaimed tragedy here. If you think you can go through life saying, I'm the middle of the road, I don't believe what you believe, preacher. I have my own beliefs. And I believe I'm all right. And I believe I do the best I can. I believe I'll go to heaven. Well, what you're saying is, you're saying that the Son of God died on Calvary and I want no part of it. You're saying that He descended back to heaven and I want no part of it. You're saying He sent the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost to indwell all believers. I don't want no part of it. In other words, I'm against Him. Now, you live your life that way. You could have heard these words from the Lord. Enter thou into the joys of the Lord. You're going to hear one or two. He says, you're either over here, You over here. The crowd that's on this side that's for him hears those words. Enter thou into the joys of the Lord. But the crowd that's over here on this side against him hears these words. Depart from me. I never knew you. So you're going to hear from him one way or the other. Either on one side or the other. That's what he's saying, the doctrine of the excluded middle. Question today is, where are you? Question today is, where are you going? Now, there's also something here directed to the saints. I'm through. Saints of God, listen to me. Some of you, the devil, even after you're saved, the devil will come unto you and say, now look, you don't want to be one of them old fanatic holy rollers. You don't want people to look at you and call you a fanatic. You don't want to be one of them. So what you need to do is just go every now and then. Enough to make yourself attached to the church. The little money in now and then show you got a good heart. And you'll be all right. Jesus said, and he said this to everybody, he that is not with me is against me. I'd hate for anybody to know, and I hate most of all for God to know me, that I've been saved by the grace of God. Yeah, I'm against God. See, there's no middle road. There's no middle road before you get saved. There's no middle road after you get saved. There's no middle road. No middle road. The law of the excluded middle. What God did when he framed this Word of God in eternity past, he took his divine knife and he opened up the Word of God and he cut the middle right out of it. Hallelujah. There's one side or the other, a left and a right, on and off, up and down, in and out. Hey, for or against, there is no middle ground. So where are you, child of God? Say, well, preacher, I come on Sunday morning. Now and then I come on Wednesday night. Well, preacher, I come once, maybe twice a month. And what more can I do? Ask yourself that. Don't ask me. I find out how much more you can do. All I got to do is put a sign on the outside of that door. Everybody shows up 4 Sundays in a row, gets a $1,000 bill. They be people fighting. Get out of my way to get in here. So you can't do more. You just don't have the initiative. But I'm saying to you, if God don't give you the... Hey, if the Holy Ghost can't move you, I can't move you. If you don't have the initiative to serve God, something wrong with you. But he said it, and I'm going to say it one more time, then I'll close. He that is not with me is against me. He that gathers not with me, scatter. It's all standing.